meeting of the policy committee and also a number of policy staff as well today. So welcome to everybody. We have the one apology from Councillor Woodhead. We've moved that before, I think. But we'll separate meeting. Yep. So somebody care to move, we accept that apology. Councillor Hope, seconded Councillor Noon, all in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. We can confirm the agenda. The minutes have been circulated from the 2nd of August, so does somebody care to move them as true and accurate record? Councillor Hope, and a seconder. Councillor Kempton, any matters arising from the minutes? No, there are some actions there, but there's nothing particularly to note there. They've been carried through. So all in favour then?
Aye.
Carried. Moving on to the agenda then, we'll start with the director's report. So yeah, general update there. I don't know if there's anything particularly that has arisen that you'd like to point out.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just that we do have two strategies on the agenda today for adoption that's noted in the Director's report, and we have a number of reference groups related to some of the other items meeting tomorrow.
Yep. Thanks for that. Okay, well, national policies. Anything there particularly anyone wants to point out in the section one? No. Section two then's an update on the ORT.
Sorry,
Councillor Kempton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The proposal, Environment Canterbury proposed Canterbury Regional Pest Management Plan. I would be interested to just get a little bit of background on how closely we are working with Canterbury at the moment and the nature of that work as we move into our own pest plan review. We would an update would be great.
Mr McLean, are you able to...
Yep.
Through the Chair. We are working closely with Canterbury and have been, and also Environment Southland are not ahead of where we are with their review, so... part of the national policy direction for pest management requires that there's better integration and consistency nationwide, and that includes working with the regional neighbours. So yes, so we are largely supportive of Environment Canterbury's pest plan. Some strengthening around the quality issue of the boundary.
I guess if I can just carry on for a moment. The thing that most interested me, concerned me, was whether the work that's being done between the three, and I know that there's been a bit ongoing for quite some time, whether that will constrain us at all if it comes around to us wanting to do something a bit innovative in terms of the way we handle the rabbits or whatever it happens to be. Do you see it constraining us at all? And if it does, would that be of any concern to you?
Chair, if I may, no, I don't see any constraints in the way we elect to manage our pests. We have to select one of five management options for every pest, so that largely determines your objective for that pest. The idea of getting consistency is as much to support each other's objectives as possible, and with pests not respecting boundaries, it's really important that aligned on those pathway management issues.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lord. You had your hand up.
Well, on the rabbits issue, I assume that ECAN is waiting for something to come out of Wellington as well, is it? Is their strategy any different? Is it still reliant upon...
Through the Chair, Environment Canterbury had a number of options proposed in their plan, and then
K5.
No, the virus.
They're also the advocate for the Victorian strain of the virus. But in terms of regulatory, they've got largely the same approach.
which is to place responsibility upon the landowner for the pests on their properties?
Through the chair, yeah. So that's what the Biosecurity Act is based on, and that's what I'm elected to do.
Okay. ORC policy plans and strategies. I think tomorrow is the last day of mediation for the RPS. So that's marking an important occasion again on the long process towards a new RPS. And that seems to be going well from the report there. Urban water quality strategy, we have a separate report as previously noted coming up on that, but just noting what a successful and integrated day that was. We had just recently in Alexandra, and well done to everyone that was involved in making that such a success. Thank you. Air strategy as well, separate paper. Biodiversity strategy, yes, we're looking at a forum coming up, so we're working hard towards a draft strategy which you'll all be involved in prior to that day. So reference group will meet tomorrow and we'll work towards presenting towards council. In October, right, coastal planning as well as kicking into gear as well. Coastal Forum planned in March, April 2018, and I know staff are working hard pulling some of that strategy together in the coming months, and reference groups meeting tomorrow as well. Water quantity there, just an update again on the Lindis and Cadrona. Anybody like to comment on these areas? Councillor Kempton first.
Just a question. With respect to the Lindis, now I know that there has been some discussion around elements of the mediation process, but it says here the court has indicated that the appeal is now going to hearing. Does this mean that the mediation was unsuccessful, whole or in part?
Yeah, that would be correct. Yes, there wasn't full agreement in mediation, so it's going to a hearing is my understanding.
Right,
yep.
And so in going to a hearing, it goes back to the pre-mediation point. That is simply the appeal pre-mediation, and we start from there.
No, not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily.
It goes back from day one.
Yeah, reheard.
Okay, that's all right. That's enough.
Perhaps,
well, is that true, yeah, or is it not?
Mr. McRae may like to just comment on that, being our party in mediation, just the parts that are appropriate for you to discuss. Yep.
Process-wise, the court has accepted, and we are going through the process of them making a call-in to hear the renewal of the consents for taking water in there at the same time as it sets the minimum flow. So it is picked up on the work that the original hearing panel for the council did, and has taken it a lot further as a result of the outcome from the mediation today.
So there was an agreement in mediation for that to go forward in a new format which takes in all the consents. Yep.
And thank you.
Time-wise, the court has put a constraint on the applicants to have their consent applications ready by the 10th of November.
Thank you.
Not waiting around.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that update.
Can I go back to the urban water strategy? Is that informed by the new National Policy Statement on Freshwater Management and the amendments thereof?
It will be, I guess, as we go into the detail of it. It's quite high order at the moment, and we are discussing it as a paper coming up in this committee just next. So you can look at the strategy and decide for yourself on that, yeah. Thank you. Right, we're up to, we've done Lindis. We briefly touched on Cadrona and Manuhirikia there as well. Anyone like to discuss those? No. 1D as well. And then there's the Arrow.
I'm happy to move the recommendations, Madam Chair.
Thank you, that would be great. Seconder for that? Yep, Councillor Noon. All in favour?
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. We will move on then into the next paper, which is the on-farm water storage pre-feasibility assessment in the Cadrona Valley and Wanaka Cadrona Flats. Paper speaks for itself really, but it's open for question. And I guess, interesting to know from here what will happen as a result of this. So it's going to be released, made available to water users in the Cadrona Valley and Wanaka Cadrona Flats and to other stakeholders as a recommendation today. Okay, we'll open it up for discussion. Yep, Councillor Scott.
Yeah, so there was three study findings. The first one was limited potential for on-farm storage dams. The second one, there was great opportunity for larger dams to be filled from the Cadrona River during high flow periods. And the third one, it may be more economical to irrigate low areas of the study area by direct pumping from the Clutha. So, okay, so this report is going to be forwarded on. So what is really the next step from there? Because in terms of who's going to drive this to a conclusion, or are we just supporting from the side? Of course, we've had previous discussion in terms of how do they address the Cadrona sewage situation, and whether in fact it makes sense to pump the sewage from Cadrona to Project Pure in Wanaka. So, you know, are we looking at a possible situation where one trench, one pump going from one pipe from the Clutha and one pipe the other way? Is that being all considered in economics?
Perhaps somebody from policy team may be able to answer those questions. If not, that's fine, we can get back to Council Scott.
With regard to the last point, the trench that is being dug between Cadrona Village and Project Pure, it was not considered under this study. It was not part of the brief either, but I had discussions previously with QLDC staff, and they excluded that as an option because the distance, the difference in elevation, and just the sheer volume of water that needs to be pushed through a pipe, it would not be feasible to do it within that context.
Is that, in terms of this, you're saying option number three is not that feasible to take water from the Clutha, is that what you just said?
Up to the Cadrona Village, according to the QLDC engineers, it is not.
Okay.
Like I said, it was not part of the brief that we have given GeoSolve as well. The brief focused primarily on on-farm water storage, so with dams on the farm. They have widened the scope to comment on this matter.
Does it need to go all the way to Cadrona? Is this essentially an irrigation proposal?
Water storage. Water storage.
Okay.
Seeing what options there are for, I suppose, alternative sources on the way, being more efficient and effective with our water use.
So the question was, do we just sit on the sideline and we've done our bit?
I suppose that would be my question around the report too, is where it's come from. Has it been generated internally? And, what our role in this type of reporting is going forward? That would be my questions. But, I don't know if that's going to answer your question, Councillor Scott, and that's kind of a discussion point for you all, I suppose. But my understanding is that this would have been an annual plan target, which we've completed. It's not part of our water management fund project? No. And it's looking at going forward for a plan change in the Cadrona. how viable are other options, I suppose? And we've chosen to do this analysis. Yep.
That's right. Thank you, Madam Chair. You said it. I mean the public consultation, this question was raised. We put our hand out and said we're going to do it. And my expectation would be there will be a there will be a community group that's got an interest in this. We will advise them that this report exists, and it is then up to them. So it's for their information. So we'll publish it on our website, but we'll also advise that group so they specifically know to go and look for it.
So was there a drive from that community and that meeting for us to take on this work?
That meeting, from memory, Madam Chair, was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And my recollection of it is that we offered to do it. I mean, some of the policy staff, those who might remember, but we offered to do it. It has been done by us, and it is for information. I mean, we don't, you know, whether we would do it in the future, I'm not sure. Perhaps not, but we've done this one, and I think it's fine, and it's now for communities' information.
For someone else to take out.
Yep.
We won't be driving it as
no,
a project.
No.
Yep, Councillor Law.
Just a question I was going to ask.
Sorry, Councillor Baker.
Question I was going to ask, what the hell were we doing this for? The second issue, though, is the first paragraph says, this evaluation includes identifying and assessing the costs and benefits of the environmental, economic, social and cultural effects that are anticipated, including economic growth and employment. I'm assuming that's not this, is it? That's a section, because this report doesn't do that. Is that, Tony, is that right?
Ms. Anderson?
That's correct, yes. This report is about the feasibility of storage of water in the valley.
It's not a Section 32 report.
Not a Section 32 analysis of it in full.
But we're still required to do a Section 32 report on this.
If we use it.
Sorry?
If we use it. What we were doing was answering a question that came from the community around what was the opportunity and possibility of storing water in the Cadrona Valley.
How much did this cost?
Because the presumption that had been put on the floor there was that there was no storage opportunities. And in amongst the opportunities that were looked at were on-farm storage, large dam possibilities, and then that came out of discussions around aquifer recharge at the bottom end of the valley. So that we could essentially just say we could dump snow melt into the aquifer and work it out again in a month or two in the middle of summer and use this as stored water, essentially. That was sort of the discussion that went on. This report was merely looking at feasibility of those options.
Can I ask you, Madam Chair, as a matter of policy, is it the policy of the Otago Regional Council that it provides these, upon request, as a matter of course?
We don't have a policy on that.
We don't.
It's an annual plan thing that comes through and gets approved or not through that process under its merits, and we consider it, so we were all part of that decision. Yep. So no, it doesn't have a set policy on it apart from the water management fund, which we've talked about already today. Yep. Okay, Councillor Deaker.
Yeah. Thanks, Madam Chair. Tom's covering paper on this report and the report itself both emphasise absolutely properly that this is one hell of a risky valley to build anything in, let alone a significant water storage facility. The valley exists simply because of a stonking great fault line which carved those mountains apart. And it's getting deeper and steeper, and it's weathering, and it's unstable, and the fault lines are still there. Now, that's all fine, but when it comes to the section on conclusions and recommendations on page 168, which for many people is the only part of the report they're ever going to read, like me, there are only two words, unfavourable geology, that reflect that. Well, I'm hoping that when we hand over this report or promote it or explain it or engage on it, that we can do a bit better than unfavourable geology. We could remind the people who are considering flow enhancement dams or alternative options that the risk of dam failure, in that valley in particular, I don't think I can think of a more dangerous part of Otago to construct such a facility. That we really do emphasise that point, that they might lose their engineering works as well as significant amounts of property.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a communications effort around how we release this to those who are interested in it. It won't be just a handing over the report, I'm sure. Yep, but thank you for your comments. Anybody else like to comment on this report? No? Oh, Councillor Lawton.
Just one brief one. The report was received in March. Why does it take so long to get around the table, really?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Does anybody know that?
Did it need another review, or...?
No. Initially, this report was intended also to feed into our Section 32 assessment of economic impacts. We've done the same for the lenders. We looked at alternative options and options to mitigate the restrictions of a minimum flow. Our intention was to present that to the community during public consultation, which is planned in early next year. Now
It's been delayed multiple times.
It's been delayed. But we keep on, we have a dialogue with the catchment group there. The farmers have organized themselves in the catchment group. They've engaged consultants, and through conversations with them, we've heard that they are looking themselves or starting to think about options. And I think it would be, it would not look very well if you're sitting on information and not releasing it in time. So that's why I think it's appropriate to release it now.
Yep, that's a good comment. Good. Thank you for that. That answers that clearly. Thank you. It is good that we haven't waited any longer. Thank you. Any other comments? Then there are the two recommendations there. Yep, no. Okay, somebody care to move those? Yep, Councillor Hope, seconded Councillor Kempton. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. All right, just keep on that. Next is the adoption of the Urban Water Quality Strategy. So, yeah, this is quite a momentous occasion in itself, coming to public release of the strategy. And this is a good chance for you to discuss as a committee as well. How are you feeling about the strategy? Are there any changes? Have we covered everything? Noting as well that from here there will be plan changes as well, and people will have a chance to have full feedback as we enter into that more formal side of it. But yeah, it is important to have a clear and agreed strategy right from the word go as well. So, very important today, and you have it appended there, so I don't know if perhaps Councillor Scott wanted to kick us off.
Yeah, no, that would be my pleasure. I've got five brief points that I'd like to make. Firstly, to thank staff for all their work. Yes, a reference group was established, but this has been fundamentally driven by staff, Peter, Fraser, Dale, Sylvie, Suzanne, Jane, Gavin, and the latterly Tanya. So a big thank you there, and thank you for the opportunity on behalf of other councillors to be involved. I like the foundation concepts, the fact that we're promoting a consistency between the urban and the rural situations. We are promoting that any degraded water quality needs to be upgraded and we maintain good and or excellent. I like the fact that we've embedded the iwi spiritual values, te mana o te wai. The process, yes, we were focused on achieving a pretty ambitious timeline. Nevertheless, we consulted with the public via a survey. We had a forum in Dunedin here where key people were invited. TA subsequently said, look, once you've got a draft, can we please have another look at it? So we had another forum for TAs and iwi and health and Alexandra, and Councillor Robinson's talked about that. And of course, right throughout it, we had a governance where there was a mix of staff and councillors. And collaboration is something that we've been really promoting in terms of TAs and iwi and health and maybe there's some opportunities in the future that come out of that, as well as our traditional roles. And I'd just like to remind people that this document is an aspirational document. It's not an RMA document. Where the rubber meets meets the road is in any water plan changes, which go through a consultation process. But there it is. Tell us what you really think.
Uh-huh. There you go. Open it up for discussion. Then we've got Councillor Hope and then Councillor Kempton.
For the Chair, I'd like to endorse what you've said, Councillor Scott. I think you also have driven this really well. It's been a pleasure working with the staff. I think the two-day water forum we had at the Art Gallery was quite, if the word is right, significant. I think we had a lot of people who we sat around and said, God, we've never done this before. This is fantastic. ORC are leading this. There's quite a swing, that's what I would say. And then when we went on, after we've got all this together, went on to Alexandra. It was again endorsed by all the TAs. Wow, this is really good. We've never come together like this before and had a good talk. And it was a good talk because it must be pointed out, there were TAs who want to achieve good water, but there were barriers in their way, and it was matters beyond their control. You know, there was weather-related things as well going on. And this is great. It's a great document, and I endorse it strongly.
Thank you, Karen. Councillor Kempton.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was looking, when I read through this, I looked particularly for inclusion. By inclusion, I mean providing for the prospect of more citizen science, because, I mean, there are more people out there more interested in doing more stuff with us, and some of that will be really useful, some of it won't be quite so useful, but we are going to have a really, really open mind as we move into the future. And I was really pleased that it pops up in quite a number of places, just little nuances and references that certainly don't discount it, and in some cases even actually encourage it, so that's good. But we get right to the bottom end, page 51, by working together we can expect. And then there's a whole list of agencies there, very specific, that says there's all this bunch of agencies. Now, if there was a way of rounding out the kind of platform that we've already established around certainly not discounting and maybe in some cases really actively encouraging citizen science, it would be quite nice to have just a couple of extra words in there that says, actually, our citizenry, for want of a better term, is actually an agency in some kind of way. And that would be, so that's the bottom of page 51, 442. And that would, for me, that would complete that, because I think that's a really quite an important, and I was really, really pleased to see how that was sprinkled throughout. Thank you.
Good comment.
I'm sure Dale's writing that down. Is that right, Dale?
Absolutely. And so there's a comment in terms of the implementation, we are certainly looking at citizen science, both in terms of working with the scientists to help get some scientifically robust information, and also with the wider community for general community news.
Right, thank you, Councillor.
Thank you. I had always assumed that this was going to come to us for release to the public, rather than for this to be the final. So I've actually got some editorials which I'll send through, which I won't go through here. I guess the major question for me was, when I read through it, it talks a lot about water quality, and I guess it's the question of whether or not we should be considering water quantity. There are instances where good urban design can slow down the effects of major weather events, maybe not to the likes of what we're seeing in the US at the moment, but in terms of flooding in urban areas. So my thought was that there is an issue around quantity in terms of urban water as well, and it's not captured anywhere in this document. In fact, in terms of the three main areas it's looking at is pride in our water quality, looking after water, which is a bit ambiguous of whether or not it could be included, but also water quality for community wellbeing. So I realise it's quite late in the piece now to bring something like that up, but if there was some way that we do go into urban design in terms of low impact urban design on 4.4.2.3, and whether or not we could talk about water quantity in there somewhere as well, just as a I think would be really important, and would, just thinking back to the meeting in Alexandra and when I asked Ulrich Glasner from QLDC if there's anything that we could do to help it, really to allow them to enable more, being more proactive was sort of his response, and I think having some focus on something on that would help in terms of allowing them to create policy for that specifically.
Thank you. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I know that if our chairman was here, he would be backing you up strongly as well. It's something that he's passionate about, and I think we can all see the value in better urban design, less runoff, and actually it has impacts on water quality as well, that sort of design. But I'm just wondering from policy team's point of view, the strategy was for a plan change that's focused on water quality, and that is what we've gone out to achieve. Yeah, we've done our 6A and our rural water quality strand, and this was a strand to address water quality urban. So I'm not sure whether we will be able to add a strand that's entirely water quantity in urban areas, apart from if it impacts on quality as well. So yeah, I can totally see your point and the need for it somewhere. Yep. I'm not sure whether somebody might want to comment on that, or that's just up to, for us to debate today. Councillor Kempton, do you have a view on that?
Yes, just yep. On that, we did on the at the 3-day workshop in Dunedin, the initial two-day workshop. We did talk quite a lot about quantity, but it was exactly as you describe, on the basis that good urban design means that if we can hold on to the water a bit longer, the water that arrives in a harbour, in a lake, wherever, is going to be better quality, because it won't be full of so much sediment and so on. And it may well be that we could quite simply make that connection to say quantity is important, if for no other reason than quality.
Yeah.
And if you get somewhere, if that, and it wouldn't be a big change potentially, just to draw those, so that if we're talking about urban design, it's about quantity and quality, and put a linkage in there somewhere.
It is in the quality context though, I think, in this instance, and it does miss something, I think, that you were talking about, Councillor Lawton, that's wider than just that, especially in water short type areas that may rely on water reuse, that sort of thing.
Sorry, we have spoken about that through the LPP in terms of having some focus on that. So I understand that. I just if we can keep it open in terms of the opportunity to weave it in somehow through this, I think it would be valuable.
Yep, you got your point. So we're weaving it in as much as possible and amping that up a little bit if possible.
Yep.
Okay, Councillor Deacon, then Councillor Laws.
Yeah, thank you, and congratulations to those who have produced this. And what seems to be remarkably short time. It's well done. Just two things that I noted. One was, and it's probably minor, but I saw somewhere in the text, and I can't immediately find it again, the comment that we regard the input of Māori into this as being so significant we gave it a Māori title. Well, the cover doesn't indicate that at all. There's no reference to Māori there. So I might have got that wrong, but I'm sure I read that somewhere. I presume you meant Te Mana or Te Wai would go on the, as a subtitle or a co-title. The other thing I wanted to ask, it's probably an answer I should know, but nowhere in this can I find any reference to enforcement. What do we do with people who, by accident or stupidity, degrade our urban water quality? Now, there is reference to regulatory framework, and I guess that means the water plan. and I guess that's where consequences would stem from. If somebody was dumb enough to discharge something hideous into Franklin Arm or to Dunedin Harbour. But I still ask that question, how come there is no reference, apart from a sideways reference to a regulatory framework, on what we're going to do about people who misbehave?
Mm-hmm. Okay, perhaps
yep, I'll ask Ms. Meredith if she could answer both those questions, please.
Yep.
In terms of your first point around the use of Māori language, we are liaising with Tiamara, etc., and they are going to provide us with some key phrases, but we have not received them.
Okay.
So for that, as in the report, it identifies the outcomes and the diagram that has the diagram that has the vision for water quality, we were anticipating that we would have phrases in Māori which refer to the English context.
Okay.
On your second point,
yes.
In terms of enforcement and the regulatory framework and so forth, yes, the regulatory framework does envisage that the whole force of plan making, consenting, compliance and enforcement is absolutely there. The focus has been in developing the strategy less on what ORC does and more on how we as a partner along with our territorial authorities and so forth actually start hanging together to together work to deliver for urban and urban areas. And so the plan changes that follow will absolutely ramp in that regulatory response, but we just kept it a lower key in the strategy mm-hmm. document because it is only one of a range of tools that we're
It's more of a vision and what we're trying to achieve than the tools we're using to get there, perhaps, at this point.
I'm glad that Councillor Lawton has done a bit of a grammar check, because boy, it needs it. There's a few typos in there.
Okay, thank you. Yep, we'll take that into account. So,
through you, Madam Chair, if I can just add to that, under key methods, number four, there's a bullet point there that does say informing people about the risk of non-compliance. So it's still reasonably open-ended, but there is language in there along those lines.
Thanks, Tanya.
Mm-hmm. We're picking up on the wording as well, and that there needs to be somebody going over it with fine-tooth comb yet, so we'll take that on board. Council Laws?
Yes, I don't know if that fits this or not. It's page 183, 184. It seems to suggest that there is no waterway between excellent and degraded. So, for example, if you have a look at the bottom of page 203, it's maintaining good or excellent water quality, and then on it goes to rehabilitating degraded water bodies. Now, most water will be mediocre. It won't fit either degraded or it won't fit excellent. And you see, I'm a bit disappointed with this. I think this is not aspirational enough, this strategy. I think we should be aiming to improve water quality where it is mediocre, where it is average, where it can be improved. And at the moment, all we're aiming to do is not degrade it further, if it's excellent, according to this, and to only improve it if it's significantly degraded, as is page 184.
Yep.
And
that wording's not quite right.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah. No. If it's below good, then it should be improving.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Or if it's good. Exactly.
Yeah. If it's good, it should be going to excellent maybe too. Anyway.
You want a strategy to be aspirational, don't you?
I agree with that too.
Yeah. Okay.
Madam Chair, is that the feeling of this meeting? Is that the considered opinion of all of the councillors that we, because that's a significant difference. It's a difference within the RMA, but it's also a difference in this document.
If a waterway's below good, though, it's degraded. Well, it's essentially...
We haven't defined
it. Well, mediocre was the word that the council was using to describe sort of an in-between state. and the council is asking that the mediocre becomes better than mediocre.
Good would describe, though, above our standards, you would think. It's met our standards. If it doesn't meet our standards, then
but that's not what I was hearing. I was hearing that it's either excellent or it's degraded, but the councillor was arguing that stuff in the middle needs to get to excellence.
There is nothing in here about stuff in the middle, and that'll be the majority of water. But can I go from a rural councillor's perspective, and that is, there is an emphasis in the rural water strategy to improve water quality.
Maintain or enhance.
Yes, correct. But it's also you set minimum standards that you've got to reach. Mm. No minimum standards here.
Well, yeah, there's a slight tweaking of wording, I think. Yeah, you're right.
They're supposed to be the same. They are supposed to be the same.
Exactly.
and that's one of the fundamentals. It's supposed to be to upgrade where it's degraded.
That's right.
Mm. But if it's good or excellent, to make sure that that's at least
stays
retained.
Right. But like I say,
everything should be striving to good, which is our standard, I would think.
And that's what Peter's asking.
Yeah.
I think the answer is yes, but others might have a different
view. I think what you're saying, we need to check the wording if we haven't got that right, because that's the intent.
Yeah, that's a valid point, Ms. Merida.
We need to be careful, though, not to attempt to write a plan and a strategy.
Yeah.
And those water standards, that is, what's good and what isn't, they will evolve in the plans.
Yes, but we need to signal ahead of time, Trevor.
Yeah, that's where the strategy needs to be stated.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He has got a point.
Yeah.
Good.
So are we going to do that?
And we'll have a look at that wording and make sure it's reflecting that if something's not at standard or good, then it's working towards that. Yeah. Yep. Make sure, okay, yeah.
Robertson, can I just please voting to raise the issue of this may be a change. The change that I was thinking about was that for this to be sufficiently aspirational as a strategy where we have good water quality, and good water quality is our expectation generally across the region, apart from where it is excellent, in which case like the Alpine Lakes and the tributaries into those lakes, we expect that water to stay excellent. Is the expectation that this strategy should identify where we have good water quality, that we should be striving to improve it towards excellent?
I don't think so.
It wasn't his point.
No, it wasn't Councillor Law's point. I may have said that, but it's not where we've talked about as...
or above.
Yeah, sure.
It wasn't what I actually meant, sorry.
So I was talking about if it's mediocre and good, you want to push it into good.
But it doesn't mean that it wouldn't come out, perhaps, in plan changes in some particular waterway. I don't know that. But it's not for this strategy, I don't think, at this point. If we've got a standard, and particularly in urban waterways, it's going to be quite difficult for something to get to that good. Mm. Yeah.
That's aspirational.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right, you wouldn't roll it out. There may be some instances, particularly inland, where good isn't good enough to communities and they will want to strive for improvements in their towns as well, even though the rest of us might think it's good. So you can't roll it out. Rightio. Sorry, I think someone else had their hand up over this slide before. Anyone? No? Any other comments then on the strategy in general? No? Okay. Well, I wanted to say anyway that I think this has been extremely valuable. If you're on that page 35 about water quality in Otago, to have all agreed on those principles for a start of what we want, that's a major, major step from the past, perhaps when we've talked about what infrastructure changes are required and all the ins and outs and details. If we can agree at the very beginning that we all want water of a good or excellent quality, that it's for now and the future, it supports healthy ecosystems and communities, we can all take pride in it, and it supports a wide range of values and opportunities, then we've all got responsibility for that, and none of us have an out. So, yeah, that's taken us a really long way, I think, in forming relationships with our TAs and our wider stakeholders. I've been really impressed with the attitudes of everyone, particularly the TAs. It is aspirational and it's not going to be easy, but there's been a real willingness to be involved in this strategy, and we have to all take a lot of pride in the approach that's been taken, and I think in the outcome. It's not a small thing to have got this far. So thank you to everyone that has been involved. Are there any other final comments?
I've got questions afterwards.
Councillor Scott, and then...
Yep, no, I was going to move the motion.
Okay, sure then.
Okay, well, thank you. The question was raised by Councillor Lawton about why we're doing this in public meeting. I was asked that question by staff. I felt it important. Council has expressed that it wants to do more in public and less in committee, so that's the reason why we put it in here, knowing that councillors may, as you have, have questions and challenge, and so that's the reason why, both this one and the air one. Can I suggest, Madam Chair, that changes are made, because it would be nice if we could actually agree this and release it as our official document. So I'm wondering whether or not councillors would accept if we made some changes and did it over the, you know, emailed it backwards and forwards to get the changes right, and then bring it up through the council meetings in 2 weeks' time, and then it allows us to come out. You may think procedurally that's not correct, but I can't see a reason why it would not be.
If
at that council meeting there are councillors who disagree and want some major changes, then obviously that's your prerogative, but at least we could keep the momentum going, which is really good on this, and the TAs are really appreciative of the speed we've gone. So if we email some changes, get the grammar bits right, whatever they are, then the aspirational goal is that we will sign it off at the council meeting in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I think that should be okay timing-wise. I know that we have really tight time frames, so I just want to make doubly sure that it sounds really sensible, and I really appreciate that we have discussed this in public, so thank you for doing that, everybody. Yeah.
Can we have the freshwater review this quick as well?
Don't push it. We will in future, because we'll have half a dozen more staff.
Okay.
Right.
We'll move on from that particular subject, but no, that'll be really good. If there are some wording changes that you specifically have, particularly Councillor Lawton, you've alluded to some, perhaps Councillor Deaker as well, with your skills in that area, forward them ASAP, and then we'll have enough time to circulate around. And yeah, we'll sign that off at council if at all possible. Thank you very much for giving us that opportunity. So we do have some recommendations. Where is that? I'm just going to that.
So maybe the recommendations changed.
Mr.
Bailey can say that the urban water quality be a number of changes made. For example, the typos. Checking the definition, a reference to culinary science, and a reference to water quantity be made and then forwarded to council for adoption.
Yeah. Amended as directed.
Yes,
all of those words and then forwarded to council.
Yeah. And Dale and Sylvie, have you got all those words?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Amended as
directed.
The draft urban water quality strategy to reference quantity and amended as directed. And
forward
to council meeting 27th
September.
Yep.
And I've got the list of what's been asked. That's great. Do we have a mover for that recommendation then? Councillor Hope?
Yep.
Seconded Councillor Lawton. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right. Thank you, everyone. Now we have another strategy for discussion in public, which is the air strategy. So once again, this one's starting off, I suppose, from a long history of this council involved in air quality and plan change quite a few years ago now. So we have had a chance to review how we're going on that in terms of our actual air quality, and recognise that we need to have a new strategy moving forward. We've all discussed that we're serious about air quality and protecting the health of our communities, and that means keeping them warm and also breathing in good quality air. So the strategy is attached, and we'll be working to develop with communities in a more integrated fashion, I suppose, going forward as well. So this isn't just the end of it. So opening it up now for discussion. Who wants to kick that off? Don't know if staff want to. Oh, okay, Councillor Lawton, and staff may want to comment as well, and Councillor Laws.
Happy to hear from staff. I'm really surprised. I mean, I've been here for one presentation on the strategy and then to receive a final copy. I did ask that it got sent out quite early last week, but I guess initially reading through it, the big thing that popped up was, I guess, exactly what air quality meant, like in terms of air quality, what was actually being covered. So about the strategy on the first page, it really, and in the report from the director, it talks mainly about winter air quality, referring to wood fires. But then on the about the strategy page, it's got a car driving down a road with a dust bowl behind it, which is dust, which is actually a point that I need to include, because dust in the Queenstown Lakes is actually one of the major issues in terms of air quality. But it also doesn't bring in chemical spraying, which is actually a fundamental part of the strategy, until much later. So I think there's some tidying up in terms of clarity of what the strategy covers up front. So that was really the key issue. So the point about dust, and it's not covered in here, I'm surprised. So for example, in the Queenstown Lakes, we have a lot of development, and when it gets very dry and windy, which happens every summer, then we get a huge number of air complaints from the community about the developments and essentially the dust escaping the land. So and causing nuisance. So I'd love to see that included in the strategy somehow. If it's not correctly included there, then it should be somewhere else, hopefully, but someone could direct me in that. So that was a big point. Also, on delivering good air quality page, page 7, under community centred, I'm wondering if there's a role here. It doesn't ever specifically note the issue around quality, and in particular I'm thinking here wet wood, which is a major issue and has been shown through research to be one of the major drivers of smoky chimneys. Yeah. So there's community centres, and it talks about collaboration with community. I don't know how far we could take this, but I'd love to explore it around collaboration with business, and in terms of somehow I don't think we could regulate business in terms of the quality of their wood, but that would be what I'd like to see. But also in terms of education, you know, a really big push about getting people to buy wood earlier. Potentially it's also going to save you money. We could put some messaging around that, but I think it needs to be a focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple of times in terms of all of those headings that I saw dry wood being applicable. So in particular when it talks about cleaner heating. I think when we had the presentation here and the workshop, and we did start going as far as how do we remove coal from the equation, and it didn't really come across here anywhere that might actually carry out through a plan change. So if there's any staff that had any further thinking about how we might be able to move away from the use of coal, and particularly these major these areas that really struggle with air quality, that would be valuable.
Implementation, please. I think the cleaner heating does cover that.
Smelly or smoky chimneys would work there, and
advocating promoting the uptake of low impact heating.
From my understanding, a strategy helps the community understand what our direction is going to be. Yeah. We either state it really clearly and say what we're going to do and what we're going to start being restrictive on, or we're going to get challenged about whether or not we're going to be able to do it. And I feel like, you know, this has become such a big issue for such a long time. I would like us to be braver in the strategy and to actually highlight some of the key problems rather than a bit waffling.
The challenge is that all, even dry wood, has a problem. And you know, so to me, and I asked the question, I was looking for that, Ella, to be honest. I was looking for where is the coal, and then I read that one about fuel, and I thought, well, you know, solid dry wood is a problem. Pellets aren't, as I understand the technology. So I think we have to be a bit careful if we're going to, you know, select coal, because, you know, I've said it before, and I think this will allow us to find clean burning coal burners, because coal burning is used in domestic settings in Europe, and they have higher standards than we do. So what we haven't got is the right burners, and this says to me, I believe we should be investing in saying, here are 50 burners and here are the 5 that are good on behalf of you know, well, you laugh, but I mean, that's the job of the regional council.
You're echoing Brian's words. I think Brian might be laughing.
No, Brian, no, I'm laughing with you. Because like 10 years ago, we came up with a list of compliant burners, and I in fact went and bought one, put it in my house, but then we subsequently found out that what you poked in it and how you ran it influenced things. So.
But yeah, I think the key point
is, always
isn't
going to
it?
Be management
Sorry.
Issues alongside any single one of those burners.
Right.
They're all going to have management issues.
Get back to this
formal
process,
a definition of what a clean burning looks like. I mean, well, clean heating. Is there a definition? Is there a way of measuring?
Yeah, okay. I guess the point is, what is the aspiration, isn't it? What does it look like? What is the effect that we're after? So when you say good water or you say clean air, what is it actually? And you're saying, is it just, you know, is it just smoke and PM10, or are we looking for dust?
Yeah.
Are we looking for toxicity? Are we looking for all of those? Yes, but it needs to be a bit clearer.
Ms. Winters and I have actually been discussing how we drill down the information, and part of the implementation plan is to do an engagement strategy around those localised programs. So to go into communities and find out what the unique set of issues are, and then theoretically develop campaign or awareness raising / education tools around the local issues. So we acknowledge it's not a one size fits all, but I think this document is intended as a bit of a vision with further work which...
Yeah, I think Councillor Lawton's probably got that. She's just wanting to make sure that the vision is clear, I suppose, and covers all the aspects of air quality across Otago, which do vary. Councillor Scott and then Councillor Kempton.
I actually reckon that putting a strategy together for this, for the air strategy, is actually harder with respect than the urban water one. With the urban water one, we had a number of benchmarks. We had the rural water strategy, and we already had investments in our TAs of hundreds of millions of dollars. So it was actually, what it was about was just bringing everybody in together to fill the remaining gaps, in my view. Whereas with the air strategy, we are sort of fundamentally dropping the ball. You know, like you go to Alexandra, the pollution shed one, Milton, and these types of things. We made headway underneath, when I open this document, I'm thinking, you know, I can't wait for this, because there's going to have to be a quantum change in how we do things. And I read it, and I didn't really see that. I'm not saying it's easy, but I didn't say that's my first point. The second point is consultation. I don't see that there either. You know, there was some reference to a survey in the previous year, but no forums, no collaboration, no bringing groups together on an issue that's bloody, bloody hard, that we've struggled to get any, you know, like, I wonder whether in fact we're just trying to sneak this one in to get a deadline. Could be wrong. Education, yes. What about our regulatory role? You know, we've talked about Arrowtown, where maybe that's not strategic, but, you know, as Councillor Deeker said before, you know, he looked in the Word and Law one, where was the reference for the regulatory framework? I don't think that's in here, is it?
No.
Yeah, I think maybe we should have a discussion through staff about the intention from here, because I think there is some confusion probably. The recommendation be that development of local air quality programs commence, and yeah, I think you're right. So it's gone from we've ticked off the strategy, so the strategy is there with no consultation, to we start to implement it in communities.
I thought we resolved, Madam Chair, some time ago, that we would actually go and have a air quality forum, at least with elected representatives from all the TAs, if not with other groups as well, such as appliance providers and residents. And I, when I opened this up, like Brian, I was looking for that, and it's, there's a reference to it about working with communities. But I'm surprised that this has got as far as it has without us doing that which I thought we had agreed to do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Through you, Madam Chair, I think the about the strategy may clarify it a wee bit. There are questions that I asked as well, particularly coming in at the end of the urban water quality strategy, being part of that successful day in Alexandra. The strategy aims to identify the Otago Regional Council's approach to delivering good air quality. And my staff are here who have been part of this, and they may be able to help me out here, because the next bit is it establishes a starting point for discussions with stakeholders, with the community. So you might say we're going about this one in a different way to the one that you've just previously been talking about. Whether elected members are comfortable with that or not, you know, we're here to listen to you and understand that today. You know, my team may want to add to that and how the development happens, but that's my understanding of where this particular document is at.
Thank you. I missed that. It's on page 197.
Mm. Yeah, it is a fundamental discussion point, isn't it?
I would apologise, Mr Speaker.
Yeah, of what's the most effective way of getting engagement of communities going forward. Is it we've decided this now, we're doing it to you, or let's develop this together? I don't know. Let's have a talk about that. Councillor Kempton?
One of the things that always happens when we start talking about air is the woods wet. We go straight into how we create heat. Right? Now that is exactly the opposite to, for instance, our rural water quality policy, which is you can do whatever you like on your farm, except we know that there are one or two gross things, as long as the water comes out clean. Okay? And so if we had been consistent with that philosophy, we'd say, yeah, you can burn cow dung in an open fire if you want, as long as there's nothing coming out of your chimney. Right? That's what comes out of your chimney. And at the moment, I mean, our air plan talks about what comes out of the chimney. And so we just need to be careful that we're not going down the rabbit hole that things will always be as they have been in terms of what we burn and how we burn it. When we're talking about strategy. And I know, however, that once you start moving from strategy into plan, then everybody, those who already own burners and the TLAs, everybody else, will shoot down those rabbit holes like it's going out of fashion. So we kind of have to say some, we actually have to cover off them in a, it's imperfect, but we have to cover them off here, and I guess that's been done. Except I had a couple of thoughts here, and one of them is that Central Otago in particular is becoming a pretty sophisticated place, and there are people talking about community heating programs. And if I was a lawyer, I might be able to imagine that we talk about community heating programs here, whether it be the heat exchangers or whether it just be a steam plant or whatever it happens to be. And I can well imagine that there will be subdivisions which will be sold to international owners who will be well understand community heating and be able to well afford it. All right, and so I think that when we're talking, and I'm thinking here page 7 of 10, I'm probably looking at the wrong document, we're talking about upgrades to low-impact heating. I'd like to see some reference which is clear around whether or not people wanting to do community heating schemes are part of the picture, because I think that will be significant. Because throughout the document, we kind of say one house, one heating process. And so I think that we just need to, we don't need to talk about it a lot, but we certainly need to make it clear that it's part of the picture, if it is, and I think it has to be. The only other comment I had was one of my little notes of warning, which might or might not be relevant. Page 8 out of 10, reduce rural burning. Looks like we need a waste plan. When you read that, it looks like you need a waste plan. It's all about we're going to help you do the stuff with your waste. And, ex-councillor Crute was here, she'd say, yes, we do. But so what I'm saying is reduce rural burning, the last paragraph of that, are we actually taking ourselves to a place where maybe we don't want to go? Those are the only two comments I had.
Mr. Bodick, and then Councillor Hawes.
Just a question on, for Councillor Kenton's specific, the rabbit hole comment comes back with respect to your community heating schemes, because one way to reduce rural burning is to have a community mulching scheme. So do we mention that? And I'm wondering whether or not everything apart from dust, I think, is in here, because the chemicals are in here and dust could be, but I think we need to put it in specifically. And I'm wondering whether we leave it at this level, because out of this discussion with our community will come community heating schemes, will come community mulching, will come a whole heap of other things, and that's when we then start perhaps building a strategy. Because our horticulturalist may say, if we had a big mulcher in the community, we wouldn't need to burn if we could take the disease stuff away. I don't know. But that should come out of that consultation rather than putting it in there as an option.
I think there are vague references to which you could hang your hat on.
Yeah.
That's all. But okay, I go with that.
Yeah, I think the strategy, like we said before, is aiming at a broad aspiration, isn't it? And I'm struggling actually now to wonder if we're coming up with a broad aspiration, which is clean air, essentially, is there that much value in us doing that as a council, or would the value have been to do it with our communities? Yeah. Councillor Laws and then Councillor Scott.
Well, I mean, as somebody who comes from, as representative along with Graham and Ella, of four of the five Air Zone 1 areas where this policy will meet the road, can I say I've got a few issues here. I think the first one is, before you put this plan out, you're only measuring PM10. And that's what really, 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 I just think this is inadequate on. A number of other regional councils and territorial authorities around New Zealand are measuring PM2.45, which is the much more dangerous expellent to public health. And I think proceeding without those statistics and figures, I think risks the strategy, to be honest with you, because I think it's a very hard case to make unless you've got the most up-to-date statistics. And given that I've just looked at, you know, from Masterton to Timaru, from Auckland to Wellington, 2.5 is measured. We don't do it here.
And I think we are doing it here now, aren't we, anticipating that the NES will...
Okay, well, it's not mentioned here.
Yeah, we are
measuring it. Okay, so that's the first thing. So first of all, before you have a strategy, identify the problem and provide the science behind it. I'm still trying to work out what this quote in here means, low impact heating. It's not defined. It needs to be defined.
Mm.
It just it's a weasel word. It's one of those words that can mean anything that, you know, you want it to mean, and then suddenly you work out that coal's been banned. You know, so you've got to be quite clear about what you're actually saying. And then that was the question I was going to have over coal. God, you'd have the political scrap from all hell if you tried to take coal out of central Otago. But Peter's right. Let's look at ways in which we can have clean burning, coal burners and things like that. And finally, I wanted to back up Ella on the dust, which is not here. Central Otago is riven with equinoxial winds. I've experienced now two of them. And the development just scatters. It is probably a greater risk, actually, particularly to neighbouring houses than is smoke when you're indoors and you're not breathing that stuff. And it's appalling during spring and summer. And I think we need something in the strategy for that. I've noticed in South Canterbury, the Timaru District Council enforces, and TAs don't hear, enforces dampening down as part of mandatory resource consent because they get those winds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's none of that in Central Otago or Queenstown Lake.
In a consent hearing, when I was on the panel in Central Otago, we used to take that into consideration.
They obviously are not enforcing or monitoring it.
And consent, they do.
Yeah, well, they should be, but that's an issue. Then I think we need to be setting that level as well. But I do go back to this 2.5.
Can I just put the strategy out? Dust, or can I just, before you go on something else, this dust thing is going to be, what are we going to do with all the farming and the ploughing of paddocks and the housing, and there's moving closer to a lot of farms? That's going to be a major consideration.
Yeah, it is a consideration already, and the effects of dust get picked up in our PM10 monitoring, like potentially when we were building the stadium, we were picking it up with our air monitor in Dunedin even. So yeah, it is an issue, dust, yep. And also during the air plan, the air plan change in the past as well, we heard that loud and clear. Through Central Otago, yep.
Gretchen, are we putting this out for public?
Well, yeah, that's the question, isn't it? So this is it at the end of the day for the strategy. It's adopted, and then it goes out to development of local air quality programs commence. So a more implementation phase comes after this. So how do we feel about that, I suppose, is the question that I'm really wanting to get out of today. Is this the strategy and does it get adopted today? What's the advantages of doing that? There are some advantages of doing that. We can just get on with trying to achieve clean air.
So we can see that from a staff operational point of view.
Then we can get into more operational how we're going to achieve this community by community. The other way of seeing it, though, is that we didn't really do this with the community as a strategy, and there are some downsides to that. So let's discuss that. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, look, I can't support that we adopt this strategy because, look, you know, even if the document was 100% fine, it's a lot about the process. We've got to take the community and the TAs with us.
Yeah.
And at the very least, to have a productive forum, as Councillor Deak talked about before. I think what we've done is marvellous, because we're almost at a point where we can start providing some ideas in terms of where we're at, or however the forum is, whether it's a blank page or something on the page, however that forum's done. But look, one of the stumbling blocks all the way through with air strategy is the fact that the TAs really haven't been with us, and the community hasn't been as well. And, you know, and they've said things like, warmth, do the health effects really work, and all this type of stuff. Honestly, if we adopt this today, we might be solving today's problem, but we're going to create a hell of a lot of problems.
Councillor Lawton?
What Brian said.
Okay. Any other view? Councillor Noon, perhaps, view from...
I think, fundamentally, the conversation needs to be had like we do with other strategies, where we basically have a bit of a forum initially for stakeholders to stir, either confirm we're on the right track or we're not, before we go out and really dip our toe in the water. So, yeah.
Do you think our TA partners would appreciate that?
Oh, most definitely. And there'll be other stakeholders that we need to have the conversation with as well.
Any other views around the table to the contrary of that? Then, Councillor Hope, you want to speak?
I agree exactly. Councillor Noon, I think we should find out other TAs, things like that. I think that's really important. I think that's probably why the bit of tweaking the wood quality was so successful, because we partnered with everybody, and I think it's what we need to do here as well.
Yeah, thanks for your comments. We are conscious of time and the LTP, and we need to be establishing programs. We're serious about air quality. We want to be setting up, you know, our work streams. Oh, sorry, Councillor Neil. Well,
I know it's not perfect, but it is a starting point for something to go and discuss.
Yeah.
With the communities, and okay, we'll get brickbats galore, and we've had them before, and just put the hard hat on and get into it.
Good on you. Yeah, I think that was what I was going to say. It doesn't need to be a massive workshop and starting from scratch. We've got something really good to go on here, but I think we do need to have at least meetings with our TAs. We do need to involve them in developing this strategy. We need to do it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that's achievable. Councillor Kenton, you want to
say? My view is that we, and maybe you just have a little wider, you actually create your forum in Alexandra and your forum in Queenstown. Mm-hmm. And yes, the TA people are going to be there, but also there is an opportunity for public to... Oh, yeah, I'm very sorry about that. I don't know how that happened. but I think also spend a little time on the strategy, and we might not find that there's too much that people are interested in. They say, we think it probably covers us, and I suspect that there won't be people tearing it to shreds, but what they'll want to talk about at the same meeting is the stuff that's going to help us with the downstream plans. So we're going to kill two birds with one stone, and I suspect that there won't be a whole lot of pushing and shoving around this. It'll be the downstream stuff that we'll get at the same time that'll be really important. And we just have to make sure whether we're talking strategy or downstream plan when the discussion's, you know, going. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Chair, just in terms of next steps then, so we're not saying let's throw the whole lot out. It's a conversation starter, and we can put draft or for discussion or put some big stamp across it and work with the stakeholder engagement team to work up a bit of a plan around how we take that out to the community and our key stakeholders.
Yeah, if you put the work in at the front end relationship wise, you always get a better outcome at the tail end, doesn't it? So I don't think it's a waste of effort, and we do think that the strategy is a good one. It's just the making sure we're getting the best bang for our buck with the stakeholders.
In terms of key stakeholders, and we talk about TLAs, but clearly there will be others out there other than the community.
Absolutely.
And have we got a grasp of who they are?
I will confer with my staff, and maybe we ask you as well for your ideas on who those key stakeholders are through you.
There'll be businesses, won't there? Industries, there's
agriculture, horticulture. I mean, we've got the landowners. We've got developers. I mean, I think it's relatively quickly come up with a list of stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
page concern.
Okay, you've got your hand up, Dale.
Coal industry.
And I just wanted to add one more comment, and that is relating to dust.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the process that you're providing in terms of engaging with TOs will be really valuable. So dust we have, it certainly is a particulate. It contributes to the PM10, as you've said. In the past, we have had a fair relationship with the City and District Councils that they will manage dust as part of land use control. Mm. So the effective early work is that they need to ensure that there are controls to manage that dust. So this programme of engagement will actually help push that discussion a little bit further forward.
Very good. Yep.
I assume though you're going to put that in the strategy, are you? The word dust?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can, and then say those words. Yeah.
And then you have the conversation.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so there were a few things there then. We've had some discussion about changes. It's put out at the moment as a draft. So we would want in a recommendation that, the, again, similar to the previous one, that that we would
propose
make the changes as
amendments as
directed,
and it'll be circulated. So we've got a draft,
and
it's
adopted
strategy.
As a draft.
Yes.
Yeah, adopted as a draft.
It's a discussion draft.
And then there would be the next bit, which is the consultation with key stakeholders.
So maybe through you, Madam Chair, that when we bring this back for that next level of approval, we bring a consultation plan with it.
Yep.
So you see both together.
Yeah. We're a bit disappointed Trevor's big windmills disappeared.
Moving right along from the windmills. To the recommendation.
We spent real money.
We have, yeah. Rightio.
And the
river. We've got...
In the river.
That the air strategy is adopted as a draft.
Yep, the air strategy is adopted as a draft for discussion, and it's brought back to
A future meeting.
Yeah.
With a consultation plan. Mm. Consultation plan is the key,
mm-hmm.
because we'll make some tweaks. I mean, we're going to have that conversation. We're going to add the dust.
It could be the next policy committee,
could
but
be,
we won't
next, yeah, we won't say
specify that. Yeah,
because there's a bit of work to do in a consultation.
So there's just two recommendations then, is that right? Yep, you roughly got those, Lauren.
The proposed strategy is adopted as a draft discussion and brought back to our future meeting with a consultation plan.
Yep.
Okay, what's the second
one? One recommendation that covers those two things. Yep. Everyone clear on that?
Yeah.
Somebody care to move those then? Councillor Neil seconded.
Yep.
Councillor Lawton, all in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. We come to the end of the agenda, have we? Yeah, we have. Mm-hmm. Okay, well done everyone. That took right through till 4 and sorry, must afternoon tea. So that brings the policy committee to a close anyway. Do people...